Welcome to the One Was That a Dream podcast. It is episode 8. My name's Lee Finch. Tonight I will be joined by Mark Lewis and Danny Baker. We'll be discussing the defeats to Shrewsbury. It is Shrewsbury and Rotherham. And then I'll put the boys on the spot. And then we'll be discussing the playoff final team and the current AFC Wimbledon team and who we'd pick as our ultimate team for that playoff final, or if we had a playoff final. First off, though, I just want to send our condolences to the friends and family of Cal Watt, who unfortunately passed away during the week. Unfortunately, he lost his battle to cancer. He was a massive AFC Wimbledon and Queen of the South fan. He was a really good lad. So, yeah, send our condolences to his friends and family. So, yeah, I'd like to welcome Mark and Danny. How are we today, boys?
Good evening. Good evening.
I'm very well. I was sad to hear it. I didn't know Cal, but I was very interested to hear about. I don't think there's many Wimbledon and Queen of the South fans. Fascinated is that how wide you can get a double association with. But yeah,
really sad. Especially people who live in Basingstoke, you know.
The combination between
Queen of the South, Basingstoke, and AFC Wimbledon is
that's
bizarre,
a fantastic triangle, isn't it? That is that, but that's what football does, guys, isn't it? That is what football does. You kind of fall in love with one, you live somewhere else, you fall in love with another, and it just it creates a community. And I'm hoping that yeah, he enjoyed all of his football when he watched it.
One big one for me is he got to go to Plough Lane.
Yeah,
because he was ill, and he got to go Plough Lane, which was a huge moment for him. Which yeah, I was chuffed a bit that he made it down there and got to see Plough Lane. So yeah, so, right, we'll talk about the football if we have to. It's not been a great week for Wimbledon with regards to results.
Pronunciation has been dreadful as well. Yeah,
it's been a bad week. First off, let's go off with the vote, Shrewsbury. I think Danny on the last podcast last week was so confident he was going to win it. He was coming across a little bit muggy, in my opinion.
Well, and he got
blown away, mate, to be fair, voting. So
sometimes,
it is Shrewsbury.
Just like Anthony Joshua, just got to take it on the chin, move on, change your trainers, change your game plan and go again. That's what you can do. I've been going past Streatham and calling it St. Reetham's today just to try and get some morale back, but it didn't work out.
Yeah. How you done me there?
That's funny. Speaks volumes, isn't it?
The funniest you've ever been, Danny.
I've just got a big book here with all my jokes on it. But gutted to lose the football. I'm just, yeah, frustrating. Frustrating times for me at the moment. What do we make of the football anyway? What do we make of it?
Yeah, go on, Mark. Do you want
to? Is it not what we expect? Unfortunately, as a Wimbledon fan, you know, it's almost like we were getting understandably excited because we had a new team and a new way of playing. But every season for the last 4 or 5, we've had a dip at some point. Sometimes the dip lasts 3 or 4 months. Sometimes lasts 3 or 4 games. Hopefully, it'll only be 3 or 4 games this season. But you know, like, every season, when I get the fixture list, the old pull-out thing. I very optimistically go through and put in what I think we'll do, win, lose, or draw for every single game.
Really? Well, at the beginning of the whole year, right at the start?
The beginning, not the score, but just win, lose, or draw.
So where did you get, what number did you get at the beginning of the year for us?
So, that's the random thing. I do a win, lose, or draw, and then check out what I've got at the end of the season.
So what did you get for us?
So I got, this is completely just random.
I'm interested.
How you end up. 16 wins, 16 draws, 16 defeats. That's 48 games. But we don't play 48 games, so it's not quite that. So 16 wins, 16 draws, and 14, so if that adds up to 46. 64 points, yeah.
So where would that get us last year, roughly?
Just outside the playoffs, I think.
Wow.
Okay. Not in the playoffs, just outside. But the thing is, to do that, you get. I mean, for example, Rotherham last night I had down as a defeat. Midweek, Yorkshire, of course, is a defeat. But I had Shrewsbury away, even though we've never won there in anything that I can ever remember. Even going way back to Gary Shaw beating us when we were in the first division. FA Cup game. The old Gay Meadow. I don't remember ever winning there at all. I remember going there as a kid when I was on holiday because I dragged my dad there because I was like 10. And it wasn't even a Wimbledon game. But anyway, I had us down beating Shrewsbury. So that's just overly optimistic.
Well, to be fair, before the start of the season, I didn't have us beating Shrewsbury, but last week I had us beating Shrewsbury because Shrewsbury, unfortunately, this season, well, not unfortunately, but they're not that good. I think we got done by two. So I didn't see the game at all. I don't think I've watched even the highlights, to be fair. I was quite busy the weekend. It sounds bad, but yeah, we're three kids. But I did fancy going there. I've only been there once, and that's when the helicopter turned up and bought the match ball. I think it was around, what's it called? Poppy, around the Poppy and Remembrance Day. So they had the army turn up in a helicopter, and some guy scaled down a helicopter and bought the match ball, and we drew 0-0. It was awful, awful. But
I felt we were good. I thought we were good for the first half an hour. And then the moment they kind of got the equaliser, we just sort of either, whether we panicked and we fell apart, or again, it will come up. We spoke about it against Arsenal. I'll speak about it again yesterday. Just got a bit out-muscled, a bit out-experienced. And I kind of feel like that is what Mark said. We're going to have a slump. We know that. It will just be a question of how long it will be. But I did feel like we got a little bit out-experienced against Shrewsbury. I feel like they kind of were a bit bigger and a bit stronger all over the pitch. We made some good chances. Football's about moments. They had theirs and they took it. Frustrating to concede the second, particularly so close as Zan ever thought he'd just come out and cleared it. But it was obviously a decent cross. And it's just, yeah, a little bit annoying that we didn't quite pack any punch to try and get back in the game, really.
I think we're going to massively miss Ollie Palmer, because if you look at Shrewsbury, they've got Pierre at the back, who's massive, big lump, loves to play that kind of game where Ollie Palmer and him would have had a bit of a battle, where, as you say, I think he could bully Presley all over the park, really. And and Presley, I feel a bit sorry for him. I know I'm not his biggest fan and I'm quite critical of him, but I do feel sorry for him at the moment. He's playing up front on his own in a new team. He's 19, never played men's football before, and we're asking him to a job that I don't think he's going to be able to do. I think he'd be better with someone up next to him, and I think he's struggling at the moment.
I don't think he's even playing the job role that I think he's playing a new role together. I mean, I don't know what you think, Mark, but he's a big guy. He's scored 25 goals, and in the last two games, there's been one cross that he's got to. And it was a good header against Shrewsbury, really good header in the corner. But we're not giving him any service at all. Like, we don't naturally play to get down a wing and cross it. And I feel that that is where he's going to score his goals. He got isolated as the game got on at Shrewsbury. We won't talk too much about Rotherham. But I feel quite sorry for the lad, because I don't think we're quite playing to his sort of strengths, really. But I don't know what you think, Mark.
I wouldn't disagree with that at all. What I would say, though, is looking at certain attacking players we've got that most of us would say we're not getting the most out of them so far. Elvis is one. Yeah. Lapo certainly is another one. And McCormack is a third one. Yeah. The question is, we obviously brought McCormack in, so you'd think we know where he should play, but have we ever actually played him in that role? Is Dapo a winger, or is he actually a centre-forward? If so, play him as a centre-forward or play him as a winger. And equally, if Presley's only ever played in a two, then let's play him in a two. And actually, I would say, surely, until Palmer's back, maybe we tweak it a little bit and maybe we play Dapo and Presley together, because then you've got a presence and you've got pace in behind. Because Presley's got lots of things, but he hasn't got pace in behind. But then neither has Palmer, to be fair.
We lack a natural winger then, don't we? We're a winger light, because you've got one side, you could have a Sal who could do that, but then you lose him popping in those little spots. But then who becomes your other winger? You're probably looking at Osu, really. And I'm not sure whether he's at it, but you're right. If you do tweak it, there's always lots of tweaking to do, just where that goes. Unless you're wing backs.
It's a bigger picture, but actually, and there's, you know, you could take the conversation lots of ways, but in fact, you guys talked about it a few weeks ago. Does Robbo know what his first choice 11 is? Does Robbo know what his first choice formation is? I think the formation seems to be the one that's just about stuck. But I mean, we've had four different left backs this season, maybe even more than that at different times.
I think Robbo would love to play 3-5-2. I really do. But I think he's so scared of playing 3-5-2 with what happened with Wally and Glynn, that the fans were in uproar with us playing such a defensive 3-5-2. And it was really, really poor to watch. That he's scared, because I know he likes 3-5-2. I know that you've played 3-5-2. We've got the players to play 3-5-2 with the centre backs. To be fair, at the moment, we have.
Without Callum Bailly, you can't surely play Xhaka, bless him. But can't play Xhaka.
We'll come on to that when we speak about Rotherham. Yeah. But are we looking at are we thinking our start, like, this is a Wimbledon thing that we do. We start okay, which we have. But if you look at the teams we beat, okay, we beat Doncaster, but everyone's beating Doncaster at the moment. I thought they were going to be all right this year. They're struggling big time, getting absolutely spanked. Right, take out the Cups, the Johnson Paint and the Carabao. We've drawn with Bolton, Gillingham, which we should have beat Gillingham. We lost to Sunderland. We drew with Ipswich, and we beat Oxford, which was a big surprise to me because Oxford are going to be flying. So that was a great result. And Morecambe, who a team you've, again, at the start of the season, you fancy us to beat most weeks. So it's not like we're flying at the blocks now either. And it's like, are we in now for a terrible time? Are we going to struggle next few? It's a big, big month for October.
The problem is, Lee, again, you look at Rotherham. If you take away your two best attacking options, we had Asau and Palmer. You take Smith and Grigg out from yesterday, and they didn't really do a huge amount. They were a better side than us. They used the ball well. But Shrewsbury the same. If you take away any team's top two offensive threats, they're going to struggle. And if you replace them with the replacements that we have, it's not going to be easy to get anywhere near that. And because Asau is that good and Palmer is that unusual, any team's going to struggle, but we need to do more. We've got to do more.
I said that last week. I said the two worries I've got if we lose players this season is Asau, because Asau's brilliant. We saw that on Tuesday, missing him. But Tuesday. And the other one is Zanev. I think if Zanev goes and he's injured, we're struggling at the back already. I think we've kind of just glossed over the fact that we're so defensively poor because we were banging goals in for fun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We were drawing 3-4. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. We thought, we'll just score more goals. Now the goals are kind of drying up. We're still conceding loads of goals.
Yeah, here's a question for you boys. What's our first choice back for?
For me, it's got to be... Sorry, Dan.
No, go you. Go first.
Shay Alexander right back. If we're playing four at the back, it's got to be Shay Alexander right. It's got to be Will Nightingale and Hennigan. And then we've got to go with... what's his name? Henry Lawrence, left back.
I can't disagree with that too much. On ability, he will always rotate between Guinness Walker and Alexander. But I just can't watch Guinness Walker with any kind of comfort going defending. I can't. And Osu hasn't played regularly enough. To be honest as well, I always find that we play better against teams who are more expansive and want to have a go at us. Shrewsbury were very compact and they just kept it simple. A bit of imagination. They're just a typical struggling team. I've always found it difficult against those teams unless they're really poor. Where the better teams, when they want to come and go, like Oxford came and actually wanted to have a go at us, they leave you space because they go forward so we can pick them off. But it was Shrewsbury was really frustrating because I kind of felt that we took the lead, we did well in pockets, but we just missed very, very two relatively defendable goals. And it was just one of those here we go again type days, really. Just feel like the moment we go 1-1 or 2-1 or 1-0 down. I mean, Lee, you messaged me during the Rotherham game, but the moment we went 1 down, I didn't feel like we'd ever get back in it. And I think that is a bit of a concern.
Mark, what's your back four? You asked the question, sir.
I asked the question because I agree with you both 100%. But the actual follow-up to that is, how many times have we played that back four? And how many times have we played that back four two or three or four games in a row? We haven't.
And this is one of my frustrating things. And one of my frustrating things with Robbo is that he always says he hates the fact that some of the players have been given chances and then they're kind of dropped. And I kind of see that with Shay Alexander. He doesn't trust him enough to play him regularly where he needs a run of games. Again, it could be that he has a knock or he can't play, but I'd love to see our back four just get a run of games, and it doesn't seem like that as a case. So again, we'll come on to Tuesday shortly, but like Soccer's come in, Calabai's come in, he's now injured again. You know what I mean? And we changed our back four too much for my liking. And this is again one of the things that Robbo says is he hated like Osu coming in and then he was bombed straight out. And I just find we're not going with a back four. The only one from that back four, or two, sorry, I'd say they have to play every game, is Henry Lawrence, because he's different gravy, and Ben Hennigan.
The one thing I would say, not to be talking FIFA too much, but if you think about people who play in pairs or partnerships, the partnerships that have been quite successful this year have been Hennigan and Nightingale, you'd think. Woodyard and Hartigan, you'd think. Why? because they've played almost all the time together. They haven't had much break. The rest of them have kind of drifted in and out. Asal is, take Asal out of an equation, because Asal, it just runs around like a lunatic and he's brilliant. But partnerships, people who've got a good understanding, it only happens if you play regularly. And I know I don't read too much about on Facebook, so I'm more of a just a quick skim. But a lot of people, I don't think that's a bad shout. Maybe given an opportunity to actually pick a steady team. But it is tough if you've got players missing. Presley's going to be absolutely knackered now. He's played the Saturday, he's played the Tuesday. We're going to need him to go again Saturday. He's going to need a breather or he'll break down and then what? So while you've got injuries, you've got to protect, you know, you've got to protect your squad, which is always going to be tricky. But it'll be interesting to see moving forward what we do. And we've obviously got the break, the MK game and the Palace game and the Carabao. We're not playing that, or whatever competition it is. We're not playing that because we've got the internationals. So that gives us a couple of weeks. But we knew this. We knew what we were buying into. We knew we had a small squad. We knew we had a squad that was going to be quite dependent on minutes on the pitch. We haven't got that with Palmer. We need 30 minimum games from that man. We need it. We're going to need him to play 30 games. And if he doesn't, it's not... he. Regardless if he scores 10, 15, 20, we need his minutes if we're going to have a successful team.
Mark, anything else? Yeah.
I mean, I just 100% agree with Dan there, because we were what, top goal scorers in the country over about five games or six games or something, of which Palmer had scored one.
Yeah, it's true.
But he'd actually been the team most of that time. So the partnerships is the key. You know, the partnerships, if you can build on those partnerships Dan mentioned and then get, for example, Lawrence and Rodoni on the left, and then it would probably therefore be Shea and Asal, I guess, on the right, for example. That builds something, that gets something going, you know, a bit like O'Neill used to have with Wagstaff going back a couple of years, you know?
Yeah, I get it. If we say we move on to Rotherham, and just because Shrewsbury, I didn't really see anything, so I can't really speak too much about Shrewsbury. Rotherham, I watched the game, watched it on iFollow. I thought Rotherham were just different gravy to compared to us, night and day from what we want, or men versus boys, pretty much. What I got out of the Rotherham game is I was looking at it and thinking, there's five or six players in this team that are just not good enough. They're not League One standard footballers, unfortunately. Dan Shocker had an absolute nightmare again, and it ain't his first time. And I don't want to be harsh on him, but he's not very good. I thought Chislett, I thought he was awful. I don't think he's League One standard. Quite annoyed that McCormick was on the bench and Chislett was playing, and we could have put McCormick in his position. I felt for Presley because he's running his ass off.
He was,
and weren't really getting much. He was no service again. I've been crying out for Marsh to come in the team and give Hartigan a rest. And I thought Marsh was really poor. I'm a big, big fan of George Marsh. But I just saw him sliding into challenges and they were just skipping past him. And I thought, just stay on your feet. Just stand up to him. And I struggled with Robin because, I get it, you're going to get beat by better teams and they're probably a championship standard side. But there was just none of that. I don't know. It's a hard one.
I think it's really tricky to put up the comparison with a Rotherham, because when they're playing well, we can't get anywhere near them. Just looking at the players they've got up front, I mean, Grigg and Smith, I doubt there'll be many League One teams with a better front two than that. And it is tricky. And again, the problem with me is I felt that it was almost exactly the same game as Shrewsbury. On the fact of, the moment we conceded, the game fell apart. And we for the first 20 minutes, Presley had the bit where I thought could have been a penalty. I saw the replay, he's not really sure. Chislett had a run on the right. He had another one where he sort of checked back. And then they scored the goal, which was really soft, in my opinion, soft header. And after that, we kind of lost the game. We let Rathbone play. I've always loved him as a player. When he was Rochdale, just dominated. He's a proper little general, isn't he? Pops up and makes a pass, makes a tackle, makes a pass. And we just didn't ever look like quite making it. At 2-0, Rodoni has that chance. We don't take it and the game's gone. And it was just annoying, particularly as well, the Smith goal where he's blatantly pulled off the centre-back, gone to stand next to Osu, the smallest bloke on the planet, and wins a header and it's 2-0 on the stroke of half-time. It's just silly mistakes, but it just seemed to be a carbon copy of play well for half an hour, concede a goal, struggle. It seemed to be exactly the same thing again at Rotherham, which was a real concern.
Not only that, but the actual first goal, that Grigg looping header. It's exactly the same type of goal that was conceded against Shrewsbury. Except at least Grigg's a centre forward, whereas the guy that scored for Shrewsbury is the left back.
Yeah.
And what's even more ridiculous is if you play the highlight thing back from Shrewsbury, the two players that don't jump at all and then look at each other are Alexander, who is the right back, and therefore that's his job. Just do your job, mate. Who then looks at Asal. Now, no disrespect to Asal, but Asal's not in the team to make a defensive header.
No.
But neither of them went for it, you know. So, responsibilities of each individual person, fair enough. But also, if you're a defender, just be a defender. I was listening to the Spurs-Arsenal commentary the other day, talking about the new Arsenal right-back, Japanese lad. Can't pronounce his name. But they were basically saying that he was actually making a better impression because he was more defensively orientated, unlike most Arsenal defenders who actually want to attack and then occasionally want to defend. And let's face it, where have Arsenal got in the last few years? Not very far.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're not at that standard. But if you get the equivalent, you know, Alexander came from Barnet, was a decent player in non-league. If he wants to be a League One player, and there are a number of them, Chislett's another one that Lee just mentioned. If they want to be League One players, they have to realise they're not the best in class as they were in non-league. They actually have to dedicate themselves either to fitness or to skills or to whatever it may be to actually say to someone like Hennigan, okay, how have you survived? You know, how have you managed to make it? Because Hennigan's not the world's most refined player, but he's a decent, good quality pro that's made a good career for himself. But actually, if they don't, then in 9 months' time, Alexander and Chisler and Nesta and a few others, sad to say, will be back bouncing around the Aldershots and Maidstones and Ebbsfleets of this world trying to scratch a living.
Yeah, no, I said Shady didn't play on, he didn't play on Tuesday against Rotherham. He didn't come on, so I see what you mean. I said I'd like to see Shay playing a little bit more. I'd like to see him get a run of games, and I think we now need, after the Rotherham game, a run of games where it's the same team playing every week. But then we don't know the injury scenario. Mbudu apparently was carrying a knock against Shrewsbury, and then he ended up starting the game. And then could he not play the Tuesday as well? But one thing I wanted to say to you boys was about Presley again. Was one, should he be had a penalty? And two, should he have been sent off?
I didn't care. I was go on, Mark, after you. Go on.
I was going to say yes and yes.
Really?
I read an analysis. I didn't think it was a penalty at the time, but I read an analysis today. And also, if you listen to Robbo's post-match thing, they asked the ref basically why he didn't give the penalty. And the ref's very honest response, very embarrassing, but very honest response was, basically, I wasn't up with play.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's a CCL response. I mean, come on.
Robbo said in the pre-match interview, he said they spoke to the ref and the ref said he couldn't see it because he didn't keep up with play.
Why can't the linesman do something?
A League One referee couldn't keep up with play. Yeah.
Well, that might have helped us with Presley, to be fair. So
I've seen people been sent off. I don't think he levered his elbow, but I've seen people been sent off for that type of thing.
I thought it was a red card all day long. I don't think there was malice in it. I don't think the way his elbows hit his face, I'd have been screaming for a red card if that was the other way around.
The problem with it is you see Presley, he looks at the bloke about 2 seconds before he actually makes contact, and that 9 times out of 10 tells you he's had a little look and seen it. I didn't think it was. I thought a yellow was fair. I thought it was a penalty in the first half. I felt sorry for him, but I still don't think we necessarily need to panic too much. As Mark says, we always go in a little dip. You can't play as well as we've done in 7 to 8 games this year, plus cup matches, for us to feel concerned completely out of the blue now. I do think if we get to the international break and we have still, even if we lose against Burton, but we don't see a potentially upturn in performance, I'm not really going to worry until we get a little bit nearer Christmas, to be honest. I think we've played a good enough football. I think we're good enough players. I think you can't just all of a sudden become a rubbish football team. But what I do think has happened is that we have been a little bit found out in terms of teams now know that they can just come in and be physical and start boshing us about a bit and those teams have experienced that they've doubled up on a sow now, and now they're like, okay, well, we've doubled up on your main man, your leading striker's injured. What you got now? And I think that will be an interesting phase in Robbo and in the squad. But I'm not going to panic. I don't think we've got any room to panic or need to panic. But it will be interesting to see how we react to our plan A, people starting to work out a little bit about us.
Go on in, Mark.
Yeah, the thing about plan A, plan B, whatever other different plans we've got when they've sussed us out a little bit is, as fans, naturally, when you've lost 3-0, you're not going to be happy. But we've all been used to the last 3 or 4 years fighting that relegation battle. So instantly, when in 2 games you go from 4th or 5th to 12th or 15th or whatever we are now, and that's all like generally within 2 or 3 points, the doom mongers are out. And they're immediately thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to be a long, hard winter, which maybe it will be. But I look at it this way. If you had to metaphorically put League One into 3 groups, you'd put a top 6 or 7, which would be the 6 or 7 who are there now, probably, maybe substitute Ipswich and Lincoln for Accrington, for example. And then you've got a bottom 6, which is roughly speaking the bottom 6 that are in there now. Again, Charlton will pull clear, Ipswich will pull clear, but people like Morecambe and Accrington probably will drop down. And then you've got a big morass in the middle. And I reckon we're in that big morass in the middle. I don't see us being in the bottom 6. Famous last words, aren't I?
I've changed my view. I could see it being a very, very tough season again after watching the Rotherham game and just everything about it. I nicked this off Facebook. I can't remember who posted it. So sorry, I haven't put your name to it. But this was after Rotherham and it was pitiful. Too many changes, minimal concentration and crap tactics with a bloke up front who's so far done nothing this season, but is asked to operate on his own. We've believed our own publicity too much this season, over-publicising our clever ideas like bringing in set-piece coaches and got overexcited by playing at the Emirates before we've really done anything to deserve it. More skill and possession, no doubt, in this team, but a real soft underbelly, and we need to get some resilience back. The last goal was a joke, a microcosm of the game. Yes, we have a decent squad. That doesn't mean we have to change it every game. Find your best team, stick with it, make others really have to force their way in. I kind of agree with that, really. You know what I mean? I called for George Marsh to play. Didn't think he'd done enough now to be playing another game. And I think we need to be going with a solid 11 now. And then the players who are on that bench, they have to force their way in. I don't think any of them have. Osu, Sokka, any of them have done enough to play week in, week out.
But you can't. The problem is, Lee, you can't play 3 games in a week and expect to have good performance and keep them fit. You just can't do it. You can't be done. We've seen it. These guys wear the monitors and everything else. You see, the Premier League is the apex, right, of our world. And even in the Premier League, you have teams who will rotate their squad because of injury, because of potential this or potential that. Yes, their squads are a bit bigger, etc. But we are not yet in a position as players, as a club, to be able to have the resources that we can gamble. It's a gamble. If we had good backups, you could say, this is our best 11 and we're going to back you, because if you get injured, don't worry, Joe Bloggs will come in. We don't have that. And we've seen that losing our top 2 forwards. You've spoken about Chislett, we've got Osu, we've got Xhaka. We can't afford to lose another first teamer because they played 3 games in a week.
But we keep getting told we have got these players, though. We have got the players on the bench that could come in. We have got the players that are going to be able to fill in if we need it. We've got the youth team there that we've got.
Yeah, they can fill in, but they're not going to win us. Even Chislett, I like him. He's not going to win us football matches.
That's his role, though. He should be winning football matches.
He's not going to win us football matches.
Him and Rudy were appalling on Tuesday. They didn't affect the game at all. I know we're playing Rotherham and stuff like that, but these are meant to be these elite mentality footballers that we're getting across that we are going to be something different. And it was the same. I'm not being rude. It was no different than watching Glenn Hodges' team last year, the last 2 games.
Well, with small squads, you have to rotate them, because if you don't rotate them, you're ending up with the dregs as your starters for months. You're right. In a perfect world, we would go, this is our best 11, and we need to create the partnerships. How you do it with one of our centre-backs, we now know that Xhaka is the only centre-back left to play. No centre-forward, so Presley's got to play every game. And we know, with one of our main players off bookings, how do we do it? If we lose a right back or a left back, we're a full back, we know we're going to be struggling. If we lose one of our main midfielders, we know Chislett's going to play every game. It's hard. It's tough.
It has to be different. It has to be different. It can't be the same as it has been previously because we've been told it's going to be different. But I don't see any changes this year. Again, we must be so easy to scout and look at because now you just stop us out and you stop us playing football. Sorry, Mark, I'll let you jump in a minute. But with regards to Asau, do we think that he has to be told you can't keep getting silly bookings because we missed him so much on Tuesday? And can you imagine if that was a guy, right? Tuesday didn't matter too much because the Rotherhams of this world, you're not going to beat them. And they're not the games you're going to win to stay up. Do you know what I mean? We need to be beating the Shrewsbury's, for example, who are going to be around us. But say he was suspended for the Scum game or he was suspended for Gillingham. Mark, anything you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, I got a little story for you two, actually, which relates to all of this.
Lovely. Shall I get some cocoa?
it's a football-related story. So, went to the Ipswich game with the missus, left the kids at home, because they're old enough to be left at home, and waited for the missus to come out of the loo afterwards. And I started chatting with a couple of, one lady and one gentleman. They're a little bit older than me, and it turns out very quickly that they are parents of players in our squad. Now, I won't name the players, but you'll be able to work it out quite quickly, right? So, the mum of one player and the dad of a separate player, they're not related, they're not married to each other. They were both bitching because both of their sons were not in the team for that particular game. And they were saying that they both thought there was an undue influence on the midfield by one of our coaches. Because he came from a certain Premier League club and so did one of our midfield players. You following me?
I do. Yep. Follow you. The cryptic clues.
Yeah. So obviously since then, the interesting thing was that what one of their sons did actually feature in the Ipswich game and played quite a significant role as a substitute.
Your mystery has just been blown out the water. You're coming up. Everyone knows everything else that you're talking about here. The mystery's gone.
But okay. I haven't told you all of it. No, that's the whole story.
Like a 4-year-old's Easter egg hunt, this is. Look under the bush.
What I found fascinating since then, of course, is to observe what's happened with those three players and how many chances they've had. Because we've talked about all of them already tonight. How many chances they've had, what they've done with those chances, and what people have said, oh, so-and-so should play. Oh, well, so-and-so was playing. What opportunity did they actually make of their opportunities? I think, actually, all three of the players could play together in the same team, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I was just going to call, what's his name? Who's the Cluedo geezer to come in? What's his, no, the...
Columbo.
I was just about to get him.
I've got a Chelsea coach in the team.
Yeah, I was just about to get him on the phone.
Just one more thing. Play Rodoni on the right.
Yeah, it's a great script to include. Talk about players' dads. What's his name's dad? Nesta Guinness-Walker's dad was on the coach with the boys yesterday up to Rotherham. Actually loved it. They said they're never saying a bad word about Nesta Guinness-Walker again because his dad was such a good lad.
Well, he probably bought the beers on the way home, didn't he?
Yeah, apparently he was a really, really top lad. I'll say his name because I'm not like Mark. I'm not scared of what the club can do. But
I'm not scared of anyone. I was just trying to be a bit, you know.
Well, you weren't exactly good at him.
Well, next week's mystery. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well then tell me who was the third player. Because you worked out two of them, all right?
I reckon I worked out all three of them.
Okay, tell me then.
I'm not telling you.
Well, tell me offline then.
I'll tell you in the break, yeah.
Not being rude, I haven't got a clue what's going on.
Of course you haven't, Lee. The week is looking after a bubby all the time. That's your problem.
Mate, I ain't even doing that. That's what you get a missus for. Right, anyway, let's move on before I get myself in more trouble.
He's on camera. Too late now.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. When we come back, I'm going to put the boys on the spot.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back. Now I'm going to put the boys on the spot with my question.
Are you going to put us on the spot? Or are you just going to ask us a question? I mean, I want to be put under the microscope, Lee.
It's going to be, well, yeah. It's,
like Columbo would do with his little, you know,
You just stole my thunder there. I was just about bang right in, and then to get involved. You know the rules. You see my count. But anyway, right. So I'm going to ask it, and then I'm just going to give you a thing. So are we... Oh, he shot off, Danny.
It's the cat. All right.
Well, get your pussy sorted out, and then we can go back on it, right?
Stop that, smut.
Right. I'm going to ask this question now, right. Are we becoming a club full of wet wipes? And the reason I say this is I'm really getting sick of reading on social media and stuff that we can't be critical of anything that the club does incorrect. We can't be critical of the players because we've got a young squad, so we should be backing them to the hilt, which I kind of understand. Personal abuse should never be put in it. But like this forum here, we're saying some players are not good enough and stuff like that. Are we even allowed to say that anymore? I'm getting sick of the club kind of thing and certain factors of the club telling us how we should think, what we should say, and how we should support Wimbledon.
Who wants to go first?
I wouldn't disagree with you at all on that one, Lee. No one should tell anyone, you know, whether you're a fan of 42 years like I am, or, you know, a bit younger, or whether you've just turned up this season for the first time because it's your local club and you've got some cash because you live in the area. No, everyone's entitled to their opinion as long as it's expressed politely, appropriately. You know, there's no abuse, there's nothing homophobic, xenophobic, or any type of rude language or expression like that, either online or at the stadium. Then, yeah, express it appropriately. I know, for example, because I'm a volunteer leader on match days, that for program selling, that the club have stated one thing which I didn't agree with. I told them vociferously that it was a bad idea, and engaged directly with them about it, and they engaged with me and got the people that were interested in this particular issue involved. We all had a call together and we worked it out, and in the end the solution that we've come up with is much closer to what we the fans wanted, we the volunteers wanted, than the club wanted. So I would say that the club would listen. I don't obviously know individual cases, but at the end of the day, if your team loses 3-0 or whatever the situation is, fans are fickle, but fans equally want to win their game, so they're going to understandably be emotional. And anyone who's been like the 216 that went last night and got home at like 2:30 in the morning, as I read for some people, frankly, if you did that, then I'm sorry, but you're justified in saying whatever you want to say as long as you say it in the appropriate time.
I think the phrase wet wipe is the challenge for me, because I think you can be wet wipe in two ways. You can be a wet wipe because anything someone says, you want to pull them up on it. But at the same time, we all know there are fans who are very, as Mark said, are quite emotional and are quite snap judgments. And these are not, I'm trying to get my language right here. They're not the same people, but they're the same type of fan or the same type of person that will do something stupid and say something when they haven't thought it through. And these are the same sort of people or the same characteristics that you see get found out retrospectively about using inappropriate language to football players on Twitter or on Facebook, because you just go, you've annoyed me, you're this, and it's immediate. And they haven't stopped, thought and looked at it. One of the weird things, though, which is kind of part of a problem with being a Wimbledon fan, is because we've achieved so much that we dare to dream. And we actually, of all the clubs, as we said before, being the greatest story in football, we have the right to believe, because we believe in miracles because we've had one. But what the problem is, people believe that miracle means that we get to the Premier League, or that miracle means that we have to play brilliantly every single week. And the week when we have one bad game, all the toys are out of the pram. So I think from a wet wipe point of view, we've got wet wipe in terms of the fact the club not allowing people to have their say. But I also think that some fans need to sort of take a second and go, do I really need to send this scathing Facebook message, Twitter, slagging off various things at the club, when actually there is might be a slightly better way of dealing with it? That's my...
I only ask questions because I've got three things that really bother me. One was last week when someone asked a question regarding on the AFC Wimbledon Facebook page, or it's a fans group, it's not the actual official page. And someone asked a question regarding the empty seats, and there was tons. I think it was against Plymouth. And there's loads of issues regarding tickets, which we've raised on here. And the commenting got turned off on it. So no one could make a comment anymore regarding that issue. And the reason why is that's a question for the club should be answering. But where are people meant to vent if they can't go on an AFC Wimbledon page and say, why is there so many? There was no swearing. There was no foul abuse of language. There was nothing derogatory on that post. And the commenting got turned off. I've had messages and I put on there. They've been deleted by admins. I just find it ridiculous that we're kind of silencing the fans who are just asking questions. And I get it. Some of the questions on there can be quite boring. Some of them I just don't care about. So you know what I do? I don't read them.
Yeah.
Or I free dot people and just take them out so I don't follow them anymore because they bore the crap out of me. But that's what you need to do. But and another one was the other day when I think it was Sam Elliott raised a question about Ollie Palmer. Ollie Palmer's injured against Plymouth. If he plays against Arsenal, gets injured for a long term, we can be screwed. Ollie Palmer then goes onto the Facebook page and then sends a message from himself and replies to it.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
No. I saw that. And
that's a dreadful idea.
If it's not Ollie Palmer, then it's someone doing a very credible impersonation of him. I didn't think it was a great idea either way. And it's obviously blown up in his face.
He just said that he trained hard and stuff and he felt better and he was going to be fit for Tuesday. Yeah. Come on, you're effing Wombles, which, again, it's blown back on his face. And another one is, again, I see, obviously, no one should be privately messaging players and telling them how good they are. But if I went onto my own Twitter and I just put, for example, Aya Bassel, what a load of shit. Like, why is he playing? Obviously, that ain't going to happen because Assel's the best player. That's why I'm using him as an example. Right? If he then searches his own name and then goes on it and then reads all the shit comments, that is going to blow. And as I said, Robbo was on the AFC Wimbledon official podcast the other day. It was a really good interview. But he was mentioning this regarding stuff that the players are getting stick and stuff like that after a couple of losses. Again, we could be top of the league winning every game. We're still going to have Wimbledon fans who are going to moan their heads off.
100%.
People on that Facebook page blow my mind. But you know what I do? I don't read it. I don't turn off commenting, though. I don't tell them how they should vent their anger or how they should do it. And that's where I think the club are really, not the club, but some people are letting it shouldn't happen and stuff like that.
Again, I'm agreeing with you, Lee. What I would say on that regard, because most of the stuff you're talking about is the Facebook groups and I'm on them as well, so I've seen the stuff that you've seen. I've seen exactly the same comments. From what I can understand, and I don't know the ins and outs, it's individuals who are the admin people on there.
Yeah.
I'm an admin on one particular group because I set it up within hours of us getting promoted to the league. And there's only like 800 people on there because it's not so well known. Not so many people.
Only 800 people.
It's called AFC Women in the League Club. I got carried
just
away.
Fill out the address, but just plugged it there. Do you want to plug it again, Mark? Just plug it.
Thanks, Dan. Anyway, the point of what I was going to say is if you get certain admins, they're individuals themselves who obviously will have an opinion, which may or may not agree, may or may not be exactly the same as you or me or Dan or anyone, then actually it's not the club line. The club may agree with it, but it's not actually a club line and it's not a club saying do this, do that. It's that particular individual. And that's the world of social media. You're going to have individual A disagreeing with individual B and C and D and E and F. And so on.
And
I guess that's all it is.
And that's why my question regarding wet wipes coming along, because it's an opinion. I was an admin on there and I didn't agree with Danny. I'm not just going to turn off his comment and say, well, actually, I don't agree with you, because that's me versus, you know what I mean? I talked to him about it. I just find it, and then we'll move off that subject regarding that. The other one was Wednesday, regarding the comms, our comms at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Again, we get told we can't be critical of the club and like I don't really think they like anyone criticising them. But our comms are an absolute joke at the moment. It's embarrassing. One, with the red shirt when that was launched and they couldn't spell attitude. Right. Two, with the why are we blowing smoke up Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's ass? A Chelsea legend brings his team down to Plough Lane. Just say Jimmy Floyd or Burton manager, like we're playing Burton.
We're playing Burton at home. Why are we
Chelsea legend stuff? And then today, yesterday was the worst one, is when they said that we are be going, what's it called? That we played Sheffield Wednesday. Last time we played Sheffield Wednesday was 19 years ago, which is totally false because we were in the CCL playing North Greenford 19 years ago. Wimbledon FC, the move to Milton Keynes would already agreed, and Wimbledon FC, so to speak, was still playing at Selhurst Park. But it was Milton Keynes under the name of Wimbledon FC at the time. So that is one of the biggest faux pas I've ever seen from our comms.
It sounds like a little bit of inexperience and a little bit of understanding of the culture of the business that they're in, because spelling mistakes happen and it was stupid, but they happen. But the whole, it's a home website. We've just gone back to Plough Lane. We don't need, we're not going to sell a ticket because Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's turning up. We're not going to. We're going to sell a ticket because we're back to Plough Lane and come and join the party or whatever it is. It's also interesting. I'd love to see what Rotherham wrote down about Wimbledon trying to sell a ticket. The crazy gang are back in town or whether it might be. It's not going to happen. Just put the playing Burton at home. Come and join the team or get involved. I don't, it sort of smacks a bit of inexperience or possibly, and again, I don't know anything. So this is not me being a wet white. I'm just making a comment. It's just, I presume that we've either got someone who's relatively new, hasn't read the room, or they haven't quite understood how sensitive the issue can be around the MK and Wimbledon thing, which is ludicrous considering who you're joining. It's a bit mad.
Massive own goal for sure. But yeah, talk about reading the room. We're going to get people joining our club. And there's been, I don't know how many, but some people employed recently within the club, not necessarily in the right places, but that's what they've decided to do. Who will not be into King's Meadow, who will not be football fans, who may be marketing experts, supposedly, or sponsorship experts, or whatever they are, but they're not necessarily dyed-in-the-wool fans like three of us and the people listening to this pod. The question is, because we know we're a little bit different and we're not just another sports organisation, do we force-feed them Womble Till I Die DVD that was produced in the first season of Wimbledon in the CCL, which is what apparently they used to show players way back in non-league days? Do we give them a copy of Eric's book, which I've just finished reading, which goes through everything right back to Jermaine Darlington and losing all those points and all the Milton Keynes thing and so on? I don't know whether or not that's an appropriate thing to do. But without doing that type of thing, how are they ever necessarily going to have a proper understanding of exactly how sensitive, justifiably sensitive, the supporters are to massive own goals like the one with the Sheffield Wednesday thing?
But you join a club, you join a job, that's your responsibility. I join an employment or I join an organisation, I do my due diligence. I go and check
what they're doing,
what's their culture like, what do they stand for? That's what you do. Now, whoever's doing these are making huge fundamental errors. I mean, this is, you know, these are very, very basic errors that someone's doing. Spell checking is daft. It's a stupid mistake. It's pointless. We'll move on. But not understanding the culture and the history of your football club that you are working for and then advertising on it sounds a little bit ludicrous, like proper ludicrous.
I agree. With the spelling mistake, I agree. That's just a mistake. There's someone who's just quickly maybe rushed it out because the red kit got launched and they thought, right, we need to get something out. Rushed it out and, yeah, they've made a mistake. You move on. Do you know what I mean? That is one of the things. But now it just seems all the time. And this is where I go back to the Facebook stuff, is that is the people on the admin, or some of the people on the admin who are close to the club, don't want the club to be, you know what I mean? We can't ever say a bad word about the club, or because we're back at Plough Lane, just enjoy it. Well, no, because we now need to move up to that next step. We have got a massive loan. We have to pay off this loan somehow. We have to get new fans in. Again, I don't want to go over the ticketing stuff again, but it's like there's 300 empty seats that could be filled with people paying good money. If I was a new fan coming down to Plough Lane and they still haven't sorted out my season ticket, I just think, fuck it, I ain't doing it anymore. I'll go somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? Like, and we're not like that. We don't think like that because we are going to be supporting Wimbledon no matter what happens. But the new fans that we need to get in, and they're kids who we will want to support Wimbledon for 40 years, we need to be doing more. And it pisses me off that you see people write a post and then someone then decides, nah, we're not talking about that.
The problem with it as well in general is that it is our club and we get the community, but it's a business and we are customers to a certain extent. And we've got other people who are customers. And to be blunt, these sort of things, we're a fan, we forgive. How much general trust have you got that these things are going to go in the right direction? And if you're making this mistake, if it was a restaurant and you were 50-50, just turn up and go to a restaurant, I'd be surprised if you would go back to that restaurant if they overcharged you, made a problem with the food and the food didn't taste great, or the waitering or the waiting service wasn't great. It just seems that the diehard fans will support it wherever. You could give them cold tea, charge them extra money, and they're going to go. But the new fans that are the fresh money, that is absolutely crucial to our development. We all have paid certain amounts of money and will continue to sponsor or whatever. But it's the same old money. We need new money. We spoke about this before. Sponsorships. We need some more money, some new opportunities, some new revenue streams. And we're going to lose them if we don't get the basics right, which is welcoming people in, good information, getting your facts right. And we're not doing that by the from what I can see.
And that's why I go back to the social media again, is that people have nowhere else to go. They're asking questions that the club are not answering phones. They're not answering emails. Do you know what I mean? We've been sent messages to the Wombles at a Dream asking, do we know how many tickets we got here? How do we buy a ticket here? I don't know. We're just an unofficial AFC Women podcast. Do you know what I mean? I don't know the answers to these questions. And we say, well, ring the club. They say, we can't get through. And if there's only one admin person working there, then they've got a freaking harder job than our defence at the moment.
Wow. Wow. You went there, did you? Crikey. Well, that is wet wipe. That is. What we could do, though, Lee, is bring somebody who may have a level of engagement in these opportunities and see if we can speak to them here or open up the floor. I don't know.
I approached a couple of people. I approached Will Daniels, who's the analyst. I asked him if he wanted to come on as soon as he got a job. He said, unfortunately, I don't even know if I should be saying this because I spoke to him personally, but he said he wanted to come on. He'd happily come on, but the club are doing something with regards to what his job is and doing an interview and all that.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Never happened.
Well, let's do it.
It's not happened.
No, we've had a relatively honest conversation. No one's got irate. We've had a decent dialogue. And all we'd like to do is speak to somebody who would like to give us a bit more information. That's all.
The Don's Trust are brilliant. We've had Xavier on. We had Hannah Kitcher on. And people like that are always willing to come on. But where is, as people are calling him now, Silent Joe?
Who's calling him Silent Joe?
Like me, I see it all the time, Silent Joe Palmer.
Like a cowboy.
who is accountable for all this stuff that's going on at the club at the moment?
I don't know.
Mark, you probably know more than me.
No, I don't, mate. I genuinely don't. No, at the end of the day, you've got a CEO. Ultimately, his name's above the door, so I guess that's him. The fact that none of us know as fans is probably the biggest issue, isn't it?
You know? Well, let's make a plea. Whoever are doing the certain mistakes that they're making, we appreciate it's work and we all make mistakes. But could you try to not make the mistake in the fact that recognise that we are when we are, where we are formed? Can you try and sort out your spelling? And can you try not to big up opposition teams too much? We don't need bigging up. All of our fans will go. Just big us up more. Come and see the Dons. We don't care about Chelsea legend. We're not bothered.
But have Chelsea put that in the contract, though, of like Henry Lawrence and the coach, that you have to big us up anytime the next player comes?
You might be reading a bit too much into things.
Well, no, I'm just wondering why the fuck are we bigging up a Chelsea legend? Who cares about Chelsea? I can't stand Chelsea. Most Wimbledon fans don't like Chelsea. Okay.
People are going to go to Burnham, surely. If you want to... I don't think right now we need to convince a huge amount of people to come to Wimbledon to watch the games.
Burton might be a bit different because Burton probably won't bring a lot of away fans. So we might have a few seats extra that we could probably...
Allegedly we do.
Yeah, we could have a lot. But Sheffield Wednesday does not need bigging up. If Sheffield Wednesday at home, they're going to sell out the away
end. That place should be absolutely sold out.
Do you know what I mean? But getting us mixed up with the guys up the right... Well, again, I can see where the mistakes happen because we were still Wimbledon FC at that time under... even though it was Milton Keynes. But yeah, that was just a big mistake. And as I said, I'm just getting done in with being told what I can or can't say. As long as I'm not swearing my ass off and stuff like that, then if I want to say that McCormick ain't very good, if I want to say that Zaniff's the best thing in the world, or if I want to go, well, last night, like, why are people panicking? It's fine. Then I can say what I want.
I guess the person who was running those particular Facebook sites, he set it up. He has his own little guidelines and he follows them. And it's relatively clear. It is just a shame that a relatively honest dialogue is shut down when, and the reason behind it, if it was, okay, it was getting out of control or whatever, then fine. But the answer didn't quite seem to, it's a shame because that conversation was actually getting quite interesting to hear about people's thoughts and things. And that you create a conspiracy theory when there isn't one, if that makes sense.
I think that's the spot on bit there. It had a conspiracy theory behind it that the club may be saying, look, shut it down kind of thing. And then, or it's them back in the club when maybe that ain't their place to do that. But
yeah, and then there may well be nothing there at all. But if you don't get no explanation, then understandably people fill in the gaps.
That's exactly it, Mark. If you don't put up, this is the reason why this was brought down, you just pull something down. Or you could put at the bottom the last comment, unfortunately, due to the following reasons, we as a panel have decided that this is the case, then yes, but the fact that you just pull it down and then retrospectively do it, you open up a little vacuum that naturally human beings, human behavior, you jump in that vacuum and you make things up yourself. And it can be completely harmless. But,
or if someone on a power trip just thinking they can do whatever they want.
Or that. But it's, you know, I guess if we want to do our own, we could do our own one, or we could all draw marks and make a mass exodus and make marks the biggest AFC Wimbledon Facebook group.
if he's putting out more Columbo quizzes.
Mate, then, get him out of there. I've jumped in it. That's all I'm going to say.
Very niche. I saw a player's dad today. What did he say?
There we are. quiz.
Right, we'll move on. And when we come back, we'll discuss the playoff team versus our current squad. Who would we put into a playoff final?
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back. Now we're going to be discussing the AFC Wimbledon playoff final team that beat Plymouth versus our current squad and who we'd have in it. I think a week or two ago, I think more of the current squad would probably be pushing it in. The last few games, obviously, I think they're now out of it kind of thing. If I start, boys, I think...
Hold on, who's manager? Who's assistant manager? Who's kit man? Let's get that now.
There's one.
I'm asking Salis, am I in and out? What am I doing? Where am I at?
One player is definitely not in it is, what's his name, Smith.
Oh, who said that?
Smith. Oh, 100%.
The admin, is it? The admin, Lord. He's all of a sudden dictating to everyone. Who made you are, Kayla? So you're manager, are you?
I'm not being rude.
Just your little sidekicks.
Even on the day, no one was having him in their squad.
Fine. I'll be Neil Cox. That's
big
me.
One.
I'll be
big, Cox big one is, who are you having as manager? Neil Ardley or Robbo?
Robbo. To win that game? Yeah, Robbo, could you go out and play attacking football?
Yeah, I'm Neil Ardley.
Okay, so that means that you're winning, or do you go with the majority?
I'll just cut out your bit and just say that you're hardly one.
Okay, so you're just as bad as everyone else that you've been talking about 5 minutes ago.
I get your point, I do love Robbo, and I think, but Neil Ardley that year was unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? To get us in that position. And I think to win a game, just a one-off game, then I think it has to be Neil Ardley. But why is you picking Robbo then? Come on.
Well, you can't. Not Neil Ardley had that one season, and after that,
half a season, not the whole season.
When are we talking about a whole season now? Are we talking about one playoff game? We said.
Well, we're talking about who's the better manager over a longer period of time. We're saying
we're picking a team to win a one playoff game.
But you judge somebody over a period of time? Is that correct, or do you just watch a bloke in a park once and go, he scored 10, he plays for Real Madrid on Monday? No, he doesn't. Over a period of time.
That's my knowledge of football, Dan, to be fair.
From all the time I've seen Ardley and all the time I've seen Robbo, from what I've seen in a one-off game up against each other, I would pick Robbo.
I know. To be fair, I was only saying Ardley because you both said Robbo and I felt a bit bad.
Right, so you want to join our team now?
It's allowed.
No.
Should we let him in?
You said kit man, there's got to be one job, Robin, isn't it?
Let's just make sure we all agree where Robin Bedford is our kit man, and then
he's the only one that's still there.
Steve Allen as physio. Is that all right?
Steve Allen. Why did they call him Robin? One job. No, or was that? Is that what Anna? Is that what Anna calls him?
Come on! Married at first sight. UK.
He's been out. Easy.
I know Anna for years. She'll love it. Right. Who are we having in goal? Kelly Roos or Zanev?
Zanev.
You're having Zanev over Kelly Roos? Oh, yep. Oh my God. That's the worst shout I've ever heard.
Wait, who are you going with then?
Kelly Roos all day long, mate.
Why are you going for Kelly Roos all day long?
Why do you have to keep questioning me every time I say
hold on, then what? We're just going to make a decision. What do you think? He did it. Okay, see you later. You're the worst detective in the world. Don't murder him. The bloke over there in the jacket. Oh, all right, then. Great. Let's stop.
any evidence? No, he just looks shifty.
Don't worry about it. Don't like the look of his... cut of his jib.
To be fair, I'd be locked up on that.
Zanev's been pretty awesome.
He has been pretty awesome, but it took him how long to get into the first team? Right. Yeah. He has still a mistake on him. You see, again,
that's what his fault.
Shoes. What shoes we were in his foot when he nearly threw it over the line?
No. The fact that Zanev took The fact that Zanef took so long to get into the first team, I would say, isn't Zanef's fault.
I'd say it was partly his fault because he wasn't good enough to get into the first team at that time. He needed a couple of loans. He's built himself up. Don't get me wrong, I think he's brilliant. And as I said before, if we lose him, I think we're screwed. But Kelly Roos, that save against Accrington in the semi-final, where he's going one way and he kind of palms it away like David Seaman-esque in the semi-final of the FA Cup against Paul Pescadillo, is unbelievable. Kelly Roos has gone on to die. I know Derby in dire straits, but he has gone on to be a very good championship goalkeeper. Done.
I'd argue about that one as well. But yeah, okay. You're entitled to your opinion, my friend.
I genuinely don't care either way, if I'm honest. I think both relatively so I'm happy either way. If I had to
cast a point, there, Dan.
I would say it would probably come down just on Roos. But at the moment, right now, I'd pick Zanev over Roos despite the division.
Not being rude, you can't pick two players for every position. It's one player position, yeah?
I know that, but
you ain't got a 22. Coin this toss. Ain't American football.
If it was a coin toss, it would probably come down and I had to go, right now, I'd say Roos. But I do think that right now, Zanev is a better goalkeeper than Roos at this exact moment.
See, this is going to both absolutely wipe you out now, right? Because you're going to struggle here.
You've got to make the choice, Lee. We're just your gophers.
Well, what you going Kelly Roos?
Well, I'm saying Kelly Roos.
So that's if I was
in your seat, I'm going Kelly Roos.
So we're two against one.
You're the boss.
Two against one. Kelly Roos is in now.
Well, I've told you, I'm Neil Cox. I can't make any decisions. It's up to you.
Done. I'll tell you, get out of our bar again. Right, we'll go. Let's move on to right back. And this
are we going to Roos? Are we going for Kelly Roos?
Well, there's two against one. So yeah,
we will. Right. Okay. So we're now leaning on a democracy. Not you're in charge.
Well, I should be in charge, but yeah, well, I'm happy for democracy. It's what Wimbledon's all about.
How very noble of you.
Right back's
got to be easy. Come on. Barry Fuller. Yeah. We've got to move on a bit.
No. Henry Lawrence all day long.
No, Henry Lawrence is going to play left back. I know you love Callum Kennedy, don't you?
Callum Kennedy's left back.
I knew you'd go Callum Kennedy. Oh, I knew you'd do this.
Because Henry Lawrence is such a good player. And I love Barry Fuller, don't get me wrong. I love him to bits, and he was class for us. But Henry Lawrence is a different gravy to what we've ever seen before.
Yeah, which is why he goes at left back instead of Callum Kennedy.
No. I'm throwing in the third name there. Because the only reason that Cal Kennedy played the semi-final was because Meade wasn't fit.
I've not having Meade in a million years. Old peg leg. He ain't in my final tonight.
Man, I'd have Meade playing left back right now.
Well, look, Lawrence gets in the team, so it's either got to be Callum Kennedy or Barry Fuller. You can't compare.
Danny? Yeah. He just said he'd have Meade playing at left back now.
Yeah.
But he's injured now.
He's about 40.
No, he's not.
How old
isn't he?
He was about 22 then, so he'd be about 30
also,
now.
I believe we can get Meade on here, and I do need a question because I've never forgiven him for leaving to go to Oxford. And then he got injured and then he begged his way back into Wimbledon. Never forgive him.
He got a big deal.
Then he retired. Bless him.
At Oxford that was worth a lot more than we could afford.
No, I'm one of these fans who don't think about it as a job or money.
you should
never leave Wimbledon. Right.
What about Lyle, your recent child's middle name, Taylor?
Look, totally different.
Barry Fuller. Lawrence will play, right? So it's the main question is Fuller or Kennedy? That's got to be the question. And Barry Fuller
all day.
Play over Kennedy, surely. Come on.
Yep.
I know you love him, mate. Think about it.
I do love Cal Kennedy, and he's another one who's agreed to come on the pod, so I should be nice.
And we like Callum Kennedy, and he's a lovely guy. I saw him at a Jay-Z concert, bigged him up after he scored a free kick from the side.
What a good looking man as well.
All right,
unbelievable.
Bloody hell.
Unbelievable. Good
right, I'm writing it down. I'm writing Barry Fuller.
And then we are going Lawrence then, yeah, on left back. Yeah, he's unreal, Lawrence. I think I'm in love with him at the moment. What a player he is.
It's interesting. Go on.
Darius Charles.
Yes.
I would have Darius Charles.
100%.
Okay, so that's good. Now, second one. We've got Robbo, Hennigan, Nightingale.
Robbo all day long.
Robbo from a leadership point of view.
Darius Charles and Robinson. If you're picking anything, if you're oh my god, you literally have no idea about football. Oh my god.
Hennigan would be quicker than Robbo.
What?
Hennigan is quicker than Robbo because Robbo
neither of them that quick. To be fair.
Yeah, Hennigan ain't Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt, but he's not as slow as, you know, Robinson looks like he's running on a travelator, bless him.
Robinson against Sutton looked like that, but that was towards the end of his career.
We're talking about
Robinson, that playoff season was
Derek. I like Robbo. I'm happy with Robbo. I just worry about having two Robinsons in the same team. I've said it.
Darius Charles and Robinson. Darius Charles, what a player he was back then.
Yes.
Now he's just become a mentor and we're paying him to be a mentor at Wimbledon now instead of being a player, which...
Gaffer, what formation do you want to play?
It's got to be four at the back.
Okay, great. And then the rest of the formation?
Yeah, but that affects the rest of the team. Are you playing 4-3-2?
Are we 4-4-2? Are we 4-3?
4-2.
4-4-2.
What are we doing? 4-4-2.
Okay.
That was the player final formation.
Okay, but it's a player final now. So what are we playing? Yeah. We could be playing our formation now, couldn't we?
No, we're playing two teams.
No,
because you have to play two up front when you look at our strikers. Should we miss the midfield up and go straight to the strikers? Because I think the strikers are an easy one.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lyle Taylor's one.
Lyle Taylor.
He squeezed
and, and Tom Elliott.
I agree with Elliott. I put Akinfenwa, but Elliott was, I thought, much better than Akinfenwa.
I was discussing this with a few of my mates, and they were like, yeah, Akinfenwa. I said, what about Tom Elliott? They're like, oh shit, we totally forgot we had Tom Elliott. Tom Elliott is one of the best players.
The year that we had him, I think we still should have kept him. But I did think that, bearing in mind is when we got promoted, Elliott was brilliant that year. I would be very, I would have said Elliott.
And Elliott's another one of those players that we got the best out of before he came to us and after he left us.
He was a donkey before he came and he's a donkey after. But he was like Flaming Ronaldo when he was with us. It was unbelievable. Scoring goes over. Sorry, and also Akinfenwa really upset me that day that he took the penalty off Callum Kennedy.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, but we need to win a match.
Well, Akinfenwa.
Yeah, so he's on the bench.
Yeah, Tom Elliott and Lyle Taylor.
I've written down a bench anyway.
So that's why you have to play 4-4-2.
Why do you have to play 4-4?
Because you have to have them two up front. What are you doing?
Because he wants Bartram left wing, that's why.
You could have Elliott at the front and Taylor going wherever he wanted.
See, I'm not. I thought Bartram was so overrated.
Okay,
midfield.
Midfield. We've now got to pick four. We need two wide men, which probably takes Radoni out of the way.
Asal's in there.
Right, Asal. Are we going to go with Asal?
Yeah.
Asal over Rig.
Okay, and then we've got
just to jump in. Do you remember the time when we signed Asal on professional terms? Yeah. And he looked like he was about 10, even though he was about 16. I think I turned around to Boyce and said, this is our hope. Then we're screwed. And now look, he is our only hope. But like literally,
and you now
look
you're back picking at a team. Now we've given you the responsibility.
You look back at when we first signed him on professional terms. He looks like he's about 8, and you think, how is he ever going to make it?
I remember when I started doing this podcast, what it looked like.
But yeah, Asal's in, man, because he's unbelievable.
That's your question for next week. You know.
So the other side, you're looking at Radoni, Bartram, McCormick, any of them. Chislett?
No, none of them.
If you're playing 4-4-2, then yeah.
Bartram's
your only winger, isn't he? You know.
But Radoni is quite good on the going from wide. But would you play Mabude? Would he get in over Bartram?
No.
Both Radoni and Bartram are both two of the most overrated players we've ever had.
Great. So who's
there's a claim for you.
Bartram was brilliant, right? But then his end ball, his final ball was absolute. I remember at Spurs once, remember when he went through and all he had to do was cross it.
He always had the same move, didn't he, as well? Like almost like a hop.
And he just
always managed to get across it.
Yeah, but he always go over the freaking players.
But he's playing technically, isn't he, at the moment? If you're playing 4-4-2, he plays.
I think we have to have Bartram, don't we? We haven't got any other
unless
winners.
You want to, heaven forbid, change the formation.
No, I don't want to change
and have one holding midfielder and three across, and then that brings Radoni in the question.
No, you can't because you have to have Reeves and Woodyard in your two in midfield.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't.
I think we'll go. Well, Asal's one wing.
Okay, let's
come back.
The other winger then.
Yeah, let's come back.
We've got
three
players, so you can either have Asal.
Asal's already in.
Three with a holder, or you play Asal as a winger.
No, because then you've got no width at all and we're getting absolutely smashed.
Well, again, I agree, but you're the manager.
Asal's right wing, left. Right, in the midfield now, it's got to be. It's Reeves and Woodyard, isn't it?
Why isn't the Pullman and Woodyard?
I put...
Two similar. Too similar. Why is it not Hartgen and Woodyard or Hartgen and Bullman?
I don't think Bullman is quite good enough. I think he worked hard. I think he's great. I think it's basically it's Bullman or Woodyard.
Woodyard's better.
And I think Woodyard's a better version. And I think Reeves or Hartigan is probably another one. And I think although Hartigan's a better passer,
Reeves that.
Was just a bit busier, wasn't he? A bit snappier.
He adds that little bit more flair. Remember the goal against York when he follows
That one goal. Nah, I mean, it was a great goal, but
it was just, I always like Reeves' tempo. He always got the game moving.
Accrington away when he goes running through a goal and we score Lyle Taylor bangs in.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hartigan's not going to do that for you.
Right, Woodyard definitely plays though, doesn't he? So we know Woodyard's in.
Woodyard's the captain.
No, he ain't. You're having him captain instead of Charles and Robinson.
Well, you didn't want Robinson in the team.
I did, he didn't.
I didn't want him. So you can either play two sort of centre midfielders and you've got not a lot of width, but you've got three players who are going to attack, which would open up the Radoni conversation. Or,
mate, you're not getting Radoni in this team.
You don't have Radoni and you play Barcham. Who's better, Barcham or Radoni?
Barcham.
Radoni, but in this formation, Barcham.
Yeah, why does China's? Are you better off getting the best players in your 11 and then working out the formation? Or are you going, this is my solid formation, you know, Mike Bassett, 4-4-2, or are you going to rotate them around?
Remember, you're playing Plymouth, so you've got to keep Carey quiet.
Are we playing Plymouth? Is it the same team?
Yeah. Well,
fine. We're not playing in a playoff final. It's the back, no,
the
old
playoff final. Yeah,
that's what I said. It's 4-4-2.
So therefore, you've got to keep Carey quiet, who's their left winger.
And also,
so actually, you need a straight 4-4-2.
And they've got the goal machine, Jake Jervis.
Oh, God.
So they have.
All right. Well, then that's it then. So Barcham plays, yeah?
He has to, even though he's probably one of our most overrated players.
Charles and Robbo with Fuller and Lawrence on the fullbacks, Woodyard and Reece, Asal and Barcham, Taylor and Elliott, which gives you a breakdown of current squad. 1, 2,
Who's Reece? Do you mean Reeves?
Reeves.
Oh, right. You said Reece. Sorry, mate.
So you've got 3 in the current squad and 8 in the old squad.
Yeah. And I think we're lucky to get
Hartigan on the bench.
Akinfenwa was on the bench.
Akinfenwa. Nightingale.
No.
Palmer.
Bullman.
No. How many subs have we got now?
5. Should we put Kennedy in for you just to cheer you up? He is coming on the pod. Do you want to? What about Callum Bailly? Does he get on the bench?
Bailly, no, we're near the bench.
Hartigan, Akinfenwa, and Nightingale on the bench.
What about Daniel Soccer? Where's he coming into this?
He's looking after the balls. He's picking up the cones at half time. We've got.
He's helping Robin out.
Zanev obviously is keeper.
Zanev.
We're not going Zaki.
McCormick, Radoni.
McCormick, I thought you said McCormick then. I thought I ain't having him near the bench. He's bad enough on the touchline.
You can have McCormick on the bench, Radoni on the bench, Rigg on the bench, Kennedy on the bench. But at the moment, we've got Hartigan, Akinfenwa, Nightingale, and Zanev. So you've got one player to pick, Lee, and you're the manager.
Just go with 4 subs.
Wow.
Bottle job.
No, I'm not. Why are we doing subs? Just first team's enough for me, man.
I'll put Tom Beer.
Tom Beer, yeah. Tom Beer, Fatter Women, mate.
Tom Beer's it.
It's the only reason I'll sign him again, because of that song. I think that's, not a bad team. Not a bad side, that. Shame we haven't got that now at the back, really.
Not a bad side. Rubbish manager. Like, horrendous. Lee Finch, the chairman selectors. Absolute shambles.
Mate, most of the time, I'm too pissed to even know what's going on at games.
Well, then why are we picked you as manager, then?
Robbo's my assistant.
He's the admin, that's why.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm doing a lot of sessions with Steve Salas at the moment.
You need it, mate. All them set pieces with the bubby.
Right. Well, I think that's a pretty good side, and I'd be scared if I was facing that side. So.
Good for you.
Anything else to add, boys, before we wrap up and call it a day?
No, just looking forward to seeing Chelsea legend Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink to Power Lane.
And then I think we can all do with a 2-week break, frankly. Yeah.
I also got to say, if you heard some coughing during the podcast, that is Mark. He currently has COVID, and we wish you
Apologies.
The best, mate. Hopefully you'll be back fighting fit. And well done to Xavier Wiggins, who got some award with the Queen. What award was it, Mark? You knew. I thought it was
I think it was the Queen's Empire Medal, I believe.
I thought he got walk skills 1, 2, and 3.
Dan thought it was an MBE at first.
I thought it was. He's been brilliant. I thought it was an MBE, but, take it.
It's weird. He gets that
one, Lee. Maybe you'll get one for podcasts.
He gets that at the same time James Bond comes out. So you never know. They might be announcing Xavier as the new James Bond.
You heard it here first.
I'd love to see that, Xavier as Bond.
I'd like to see that, actually.
Especially when he's on the piss. Oh, Moneypenny wouldn't have. No, what's it? Right. Thanks, boys. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Take care, everyone.
Good stuff. Take care, guys. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.